We need to examine whether or not the antidote that is being offered for sin is what we're truly believing in. That's what I want to show you from 2 Corinthians 5:21. Because the scriptures tell us that God offers to forgive all of someone's sins forever. He'll forgive all of anyone's sins forever that will come to him. See, that's what the greatest news is of the universe. The good news is not that God wants to fix our marriages or make us happy. The good news is that we were born alienated from a holy God, which has the price of eternal damnation, and that can end. That price can be paid. That virus can be removed. Salvation can be ours, and we can know it, and we can be secure in it. We can be reconciled with God. We can enjoy his glorious heaven forever. All of our sins can be dealt with. But salvation, to be genuine salvation, must have two parts that are inseparably linked as the salvation God offers. And they're both named right here in verse 21. In fact, this is one of the most beautiful and complete expressions of what salvation is all about. And I want you to mark it so that as the days go by, as you think, as you listen to the news, as you hear people as they're praying now to the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Allah, and everybody else, that you realize that they're not all the same. And that there is only one way to heaven. And there is only one way to the true and living God, the creator of the universe. What does it say? Two parts to verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Part one, if you're a Bible writer, is substitution. You ought to write that somewhere in your Bible by that phrase. Put substitution. If salvation that you know about, that you have embraced, that you have believed in, that I have received is genuine, that salvation begins with, think about the verses we know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What did he give Jesus Christ for? As a substitute. That's why what we believe in is called the substitutionary atonement. Jesus Christ offers substitution. God has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Christ. That's what it says in Isaiah 53. He has caused the iniquity to fall on Christ. On the cross, this is what happened. God treated Jesus as if he had committed every sin committed by every person who ever would believe in him. Do you realize that? Do you realize that Jesus Christ on the cross, God treated him like he committed every sin I committed? Not just the sins I committed from when I was born until I got saved, but the sins I committed from 1956 until the last breath I take on this planet. God treated Jesus Christ on the cross as if he had committed those sins instead of me. Now that's the good news of substitution. You see, I couldn't pay for even one of my sins. Even in my wildest bestness, if I ever could be wildly best, I couldn't pay for one sin. And Jesus Christ took all of them, and yours too, if you allow him to be your sacrifice for sin, and paid on the cross, and suffered, compressed into 6 hours, your eternal punishment and my eternal punishment against a holy God for my sin and for yours. Though Jesus never committed even one of those sins, in fact, he is sinless. He didn't sin, as the false teachers say. He became sin. He bore and suffered the punishment. And that's the great doctrine of substitution. So you should have that by the first part of verse 21. God unloaded all of his wrath for all the sins of all the people who would ever believe in him in the history of the planet on Jesus on the cross. That's why the Bible considers that to be the dividing point of history. The cross was the greatest moment of all history when Jesus Christ became sin. What a blessing. The Old Testament spoke of this as the scapegoat. In Leviticus 16, if you remember, the Old Testament high priest would take an innocent lamb and would bring that out, or actually a goat. In fact, in the Hebrew language, we can't tell when it's goats or lambs because it's the same word used for both, but this is called the scapegoat. And he'd bring out that innocent goat, and the priest would lay his hands on the head of that goat, which didn't do any of the sins that the children of Israel had done, and he would condemn that goat with all those sins and send it off bearing them away. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus, though he never sinned, bore the fury of God's wrath against our sins. And God laid the sins of those who sinned upon him.